This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's Mid Morning Show with Omboi Mboro.
Every once in a while, we have to talk about some issues that affect all of us.
Featuring the Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Bishop David Oginde.
There are things that one can be able to do in order for them to be able to get to where they want to go.
The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
Back to the Leadership Forum. And thank you for your texts. I'll be coming to some of these, quite some interesting texts, Bishop, as well as you can write to us on Twitter, handle at Hope On Air. Thank you, Humphreys.Young. And you are saying when it's Monday, you just get ready to learn because it's Leadership Forum by Bishop David Oginde, you say himself. Okay, himself. This has to do with you, Bishop, you know, so you might want to say something.
No, what can I say? Thank you.
All right. Espila saying, praise God, Omboi and Bishop, thank you for this forum, because now I can tell the types of leaders, and I concur with Bishop that if you lavish children in all ways, they will end up lacking life skills. I have witnessed such. Mm. Who can't cook, who can't clean after themselves, etc.
Mm, yes, that's true.
It is a cycle. And then these children will again become destructive leaders, perhaps. Mm. So it's a vicious cycle. Become.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It can be. No, it is not automatic. It can be.
Yeah, it can be. It can Someone be. Has to break it.
Somebody has to break it, yes.
Even in a family
And
setup.
That's why we said that there is a need for personal self-awareness and personal self-leadership so that you can break this cycle.
All right.
Yeah. Otherwise, it can keep going.
All right. Mm. All right. Okay, let me look at this text. Ruth, what did you really want to say? I'll just read hers exactly as it came. Says, oh, Omboi, are you John the Baptist? Keenly listening, Bishop. It's our point of disagreement here. And another one says, thanks for the Leadership Forum. I always learn more each time I listen, and thanks, Bishop, for the wisdom, Jeff. Great insights on destructive leadership. I'm keenly listening. Question, how does one assist a destructive leader to acknowledge their wrong and pursue being transformational leaders? Wow. Leading the leader now. Mm-hmm. How do we, let's imagine the situation. We've just realized we are working under a destructive leader. How can you help them become transformational leaders?
It really depends on the, you know, we have mentioned like five factors or characteristics of a destructive leader.
Yes.
These are very deep things, and I wouldn't say that one would easily help such a person. For example, if a person is a narcissist, it's all those things that we talked about are operating in their system. And so for you to be able to help this person, it's a long process. And sometimes you have found people like this because, for example, we said one of their characteristics is that they're arrogant.
Yes.
An arrogant person is very difficult to help. Even if you wanted to. Because the very moment you approach them with an idea or a suggestion, they are thinking that now you're showing that you know better than they do.
Yes.
When they are the ones who are supposed to
know it all.
Know it all.
Yeah.
So it becomes difficult for a follower to help these kinds of persons in their leadership. However, having said that, how can I put it?
Mm.
Maybe once we do the follower part, then I can say what I wanted to say.
All right.
Because we are just going to susceptible followers.
Followers.
So I was going to say you should not be a susceptible follower.
Yes.
Yes. And that could help the situation. So maybe if once we cover that briefly, we can go back and just see how do you then help this person to get out or not to be a destructive leader.
All right.
Yeah, because the toxic triangle seems to work together.
Without one, it's broken.
It's broken to some extent. Or let me say it is weakened.
It is weakened.
It is weakened. Yeah.
You know, actually, this toxic triangle reminds me of something, perhaps in matters counseling, that abuse always have got the abuser, the victim, and enablers.
That's a toxic triangle.
It is a terribly toxic triangle.
It's a toxic triangle.
Even in a family setup.
Yes.
So, in the same way that removing any of those would weaken the system of abuse.
Yes, it would weaken. It may not necessarily solve the problem.
Yeah, it won't.
But it would weaken.
It would weaken.
Yes.
All right.
And help the situation.
Okay. Good afternoon. The Leadership Forum is really full of insight, and Bishop's points seem to flow so easily. They seem, but I'm sure there's a lot of work and introspection behind that seeming ease. Not to forget the Spirit of God. And the person was asking whether we have a catalog of the programs to date so that you can select and purchase recordings or better still, a free online archive podcast. No, there isn't a podcast of them. But maybe, Christina, you can still talk to Hope FM, that line, and check whether something can be done for you. 0709-861-180. And this one says, say a big hello to Bishop Oginde. Bishop, a big hello to you.
Hello. Thank you.
The person says, I bless God for his prowess in leadership matters. Kindly ask Bishop, if the constitution would change, would he ever consider having a top leadership position in our country? You know, you always answer this question like a joke, Bishop. What is your stand in terms of being personally in a leadership position at a national level and not church, like political?
Why does the constitution have to change for me to be there? They want to rig me in or something? Or
I really don't know why they're thinking like that, but in the first place, this is not the first person who's asking you.
No, that question has come many times.
Do you have
a
personal position on that, or maybe a family position on that?
I would say that I have not developed ambition in that line.
Okay.
That's why I take it.
You're always joking about
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So unless... let me put it this way.
Yes.
You know, when I was many years ago, before I became a pastor, if you asked me whether I would be a pastor, it is the same way I would answer. And I did answer those days.
People would
say, oh, you are just a pastor. In fact, in university, my classmates used to call me Bishop.
Really?
Yeah. And I would just laugh because it was nowhere in my mind. I had no ambition for it. I had no thought about it. So if somebody told me, you are just a pastor, you are going to be a pastor, I would just answer in the same way.
Mm.
But God works in his own ways. Look where I am today.
Look now.
Yeah. So if God works in similar ways and I find myself there, I find myself there.
Okay.
In other words, God has orchestrated things and I find myself there. But that I would go out of my way to seek I do not think so.
Mm.
No.
Okay. All right.
Maybe that's why the constitution needs to be changed. So that I just find myself, wow, I'm here and now they, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would be part of the reason I studied leadership is because I was, from very early stages of life, I was very disappointed by the way things happen. And I just wondered whether there's anything that can be done. And so later on into mature stages of my life, I thought instead of making noise and disappointed, is there any contribution I can make, even in the smallest way possible? And that's why I studied leadership.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, in the days that I was thinking about it, there were no leadership studies.
Mm.
I had not even heard that leadership, that you can study leadership.
As a discipline.
I'd not heard about it.
Yeah.
So I actually enrolled for management.
Oh.
Yeah, I enrolled at USIU at the time for MBA. But before I could do it, that's how I ended up in a pastoral role, which totally changed my plans.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time now I was ready to resume these studies, leadership appeared at my desk.
Wow.
And I just said, this is it. This is it.
All right.
So the idea of helping develop, create leaders and provide leadership is something that is close to my heart. So if I found myself at any point of leadership, I would do my very best. But that I would go into politics, I'm not sure.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I hope that is less of joking and fun.
That is serious.
That is serious.
That now is a very serious answer. Thank you, Bishop. I'm listening, and Bishop has just described my boss. That came when you were describing destructive leader. I joined this organization last year, and from the first minute we had a disagreement, and he's developed so much hatred that I am unable to understand. Now, he was supposed to confirm me, but he's refused. He's now looking for an opportunity to send me away, but I got support from a bigger an umbrella board. Now, how do I deal with this situation? Should I just get an exit strategy? And says it is a small organization and he runs it like his own home.
Mm.
What's the best approach?
That's why I said that these kinds of persons are very difficult to help or deal with, because they are autocratic in nature. If you remember the things that I was talking about.
Yes.
So it is not easy to work with them. What generally would help this kind of people is a good structure in the organization.
Like this board now?
Yes. You see a situation where there's a board and they have very good reporting systems and laid out policies, ways of doing things. That is kind of smoothens the rough edges of the leader. Because as long as you have followed procedure and followed process, they find it difficult to then come round and hit you. Because you have followed process, you have followed procedure and followed policy, and they are reporting structures, and they themselves are accountable to some body.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that body is a person or that body is a board, it makes it easier. But if you are simply the two of you, it can be very difficult. And exit strategy sometimes is not a bad thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bishop Nwamboi, I've worked for 2 decades in one company, and I've seen leaders come and go. But the two we have now, they are both narcissistic.
Oh my goodness.
And says they are also foreigners, and is asking a slightly different question, or the approach taking, because asks, why is Kenya still employing foreigners to do jobs that Kenyans can do? Bishop, in your position, can you escalate such with the government? Well,
we have talked about it, because I have traveled a few countries of the world. Mm. In fact, I've even written about it. Most countries guard their territories very jealously for their people.
Yes.
To get a work permit, to get a visa, to get those kinds of things, you really have to work hard.
Mm.
We sent a pastor to one of our African countries where we opened a church, and they totally, totally refused to give him a work permit.
In Africa?
In Africa. We have tried every means possible, and they simply say, no, there must be somebody from the country who can do this job.
Mm.
Kenya, unfortunately, is the reverse. We've even hawkers on the streets. We have people doing manual jobs in some of the companies, and it's like we just dish out work permits.
Mm.
It is a very unfortunate thing, because it disempowers the locals. At the same time, you are talking about unemployment, as people who could offer this, use their skills and whatever they have learned, knowledge in developing the nation, are sitting at home or walking the streets because foreigners have come to take their jobs. And somehow it appears like our people in leadership either do not care or do not know. I do not know. But you see, there's this whole thing of corruption that is certainly a sickness in our country. Because you'll find that many of these people, they just pay a little money to a person in the office, and they get their permits.
Mm.
I can tell you for a fact, I was in an office of a person, has gone to Sikh services, and while I'm seated with this person, a call comes.
Mm.
And of course,
to the person.
Uh-huh. And I'm sitting here. I had no otherwise but to hear, you know, ears are not like eyes.
You
can close your eyes, but you can't close your ears.
I get it.
So they are talking on the phone, and I could tell that they are talking about an application that this person who I was with in the office had made for a work permit for a person who is coming to work in their organization. So basically, of course, I could only hear this side of the conversation.
Yes.
I couldn't hear the other side. So he tells this person at some point that, you know how we normally do it. I will have your portion ready. Just process.
Wow.
Just process it.
Oh.
And it's all about how we normally do it. In other words, this is not the first time they're doing it. So just process it.
And not even being subtle about it.
No. He was very relaxed in his seat, and I'm sitting there.
Wow.
So if he were a person with a conscience, if I put it that way, they would even have said, I'll call you later. I have somebody in the office at the moment. I'll call you later. Because what they were going to discuss was so pertinent. And what he was going to tell him was the kind you would imagine that an ordinary person would not want another person to hear. But there he is just saying, no, just process that permit. We need this person. You know how we normally do it. I'll have your portion ready.
Wow. Okay.
And basically they finished.
Hey.
And he was going to get his work permit without even going to the office.
Interesting.
The immigration office. So this is what is eating us as a nation. I just heard in the news this morning about what is happening in South Africa.
The xenophobia.
The xenophobia.
Yeah.
People are rising against foreigners.
Mm.
And if we do not control our situation, that could easily get to this place.
Mm.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate thing. But yes, we have talked about it. And I pray that one day we'll get there.
One day.
Yeah.
All right. Older Thing Leadership Forum. Amazing things to learn in destructive leadership. Thank you. And thank you also, Happy Henry, who says, hi, Wamboi and Dr. Oginde. The more I listen to this forum very keenly, especially in the last few months, the more I wonder if maybe CTAM as a church can incorporate a training for co-workers. Thank you both for making us learn with joy. All right. Thank you for that.
We have a training.
We do?
Yes. CTAM runs a university called Park University.
Oh.
The Leadership University. Yeah.
It's a leadership. And it's open. It's open.
And it's open. And yeah. You can start from lowest level certificate to PhD level.
Sure.
On leadership.
Yes. Maybe that's what Nyambura had wanted to know when she was asking, so which course or which degree did Bishop study to get this content and where? It's amazing. Park University could give us the answer that maybe if Nyambura is looking towards what she can study.
Yes, Nyambura can study depending on at what level she is.
Yes.
If you have a degree already,
uh-huh.
You can go and do a master's in leadership. Whichever degree, first degree you have.
Yes.
If you already have a master's in whichever area,
mm-hmm.
You can do a PhD in leadership at Park University. If you have none of the above,
yes.
You can start at a certificate level. You can start at a diploma level. You can start at a first degree level. So We have the courses running from zero to PhD.
Uh-huh.
And you will get this content and more. What we do here is the surface.
It was scratch.
This is not even.
This is scratchy.
This should not be mentioned where leadership is being taught. Come to Park and now get the real thing. You know?
Okay.
Why are you laughing so hard?
Well, last time, Bishop mentioned the individuals who have carried out the research. Even today, you did.
Mm.
Someone wants to be reminded of the names and confirm if this is a book that they have authored in the title.
No, this is not a book. Mm. This is not a book. This is what you call a journal article.
Okay.
It's a journal article.
What are the names once
they
more?
Call just so they call Art Padilla and Robert Hogan and Robert Kaiser. So this is a research report that the three did a research and found this. As far as I know, I do not know that it is in a book form.
All right.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but it is in. So those people who have access to scholarly articles can actually get it.
All right.
Yeah. Not the normal Googling.
All right.
If you have a Google Scholar, for example, you could find it if you are registered through an institution and so on. Yes, it's available.
Aloch says they're looking forward to starting their PhD next week.
Wow. I'll be with them there.
You will?
Oh, yes.
And all because of this weekly leadership program.
Amen.
That you said shouldn't even be mentioned. You said now. The way I was looking.
No, I'm talking about the depth. I was talking about the depth. What we are doing here is surface level. Who is this? The name?
Aluoch.
Aluoch.
Mm-hmm.
When we meet with Aluoch now at Park University.
In class
next week. We will be there. We'll now be digging deep.
Deep. Much deeper.
Much deeper.
All right.
Yeah. So he will discover that what we have been doing here is really surface level.
Okay.
Especially at PhD level, you really dig deep.
Much deeper.
Much, much deeper.
All right.
But of course.
Which is your area in PhD, isn't it?
It is my area in PhD.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So finally, Bishop, two that kind of say the same thing.
Right.
is it possible to cover the narcissistic part of leadership from a spiritual leadership standpoint, like narcissistic leaders versus cults? Is there a connection? Dennis is asking that. And then this other one, I say they're more or less going the same direction, saying that the narcissistic personality disorder is destroying families and societies, and most of social ills can be traced to the NPD-related abuse. It is so even in churches. Are there any efforts or even hopes of candidly addressing this from church pulpits? All right.
Very true. You'll find that most cult leaders tend to be in these categories. By the way, narcissism was just one of the five.
Yes.
If you go back to what we said as number one in this list, charisma. Was charisma.
Mm-hmm.
This is usually the attraction. The charisma is usually the attraction. Because you find charisma is a positive characteristic, a positive trait.
Yes.
In a person. Because people who have charisma have a tendency of drawing people towards themselves. Because they are articulate, they are brave, courageous.
Gifted.
They are gifted in oratory. They're just good, you know. When they speak, listen, because they seem to know what they are talking about. And they are very persuasive in that way. So you find that this charisma then becomes the attraction. You see a leader, you hear a leader, and you feel attracted towards them because of their charisma.
I need to hear them some more.
You want to hear them some more.
Mm.
So when you're talking about now in the spiritual realm, in the Christian church area, you'll find that many of these people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
When they stand on a platform, and while they are still operating under the power of the Holy Spirit and are being led of God, they are powerful people who do great exploits for the kingdom.
Amen.
Yes.
Without abusing anyone.
Without abusing anyone.
Yeah.
Now, there is what we call the self-awareness part.
Yeah.
Because if this person also is not careful, you know, remember David, after he killed Goliath, the Bible says that the women went out singing and dancing.
Just causing trouble for him. Yeah.
Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. Now, a very good leader who has charisma and who had no intention of abusing somebody or anybody, now gets to this space where people are singing his praises.
A song like that.
A song like that.
In comparison.
Comparing with others. You know, I was with so-and-so, and they couldn't do this. Look the way you have done. You know some of the things that our listeners are saying about me?
Yes.
You know, you can't get to the head.
You need to be self-aware.
So you have to be self-aware that you don't drink in those praises. The truth is that you cannot stop people from saying good things about you.
Or bad ones for that matter.
About anyone for that matter. And especially if you are doing good.
Yeah.
So the self-awareness is what will keep you from abusing power.
After the song.
After the song. Okay.
Yes.
So it kind of develops, you know. So here you are, a charismatic leader doing a great job. People are praising you. Now, if you have come from a narcissist, and let me talk about the life themes. If you have come from negative life theme background where you have suffered, you have gone through difficult times, abuses and so on, poverty, those kinds of things.
Then rejection.
You know, now here are people who are singing your songs. And you begin to realize, I'm not that bad
after all.
Yeah. I'm making it.
Yeah.
So that begins to turn your attention, and it could easily end you up as a narcissist leader.
Mm.
Where now, because you are put on this pedestal, anybody who confronts you, criticizes you, attacks you, disagrees with you, you want to destroy them. Because don't you see all these people who are following me, all these people who are singing my praises, mm-hmm. all these people who are appreciating the good work I'm doing, who are you to disagree with them? You know?
Yeah.
So this is how you could easily find yourself becoming a destructive leader without ever having intended to be one. So that self-leadership and self-awareness is what will keep you on the straight and narrow. You find Jesus. Somebody comes to him and say, good teacher. And he says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know, he has totally deflected that. Not that he was, there are people who called him teacher. His own disciples called him teacher. And he was quite okay. Never. In fact, he told them, you called me teacher. That is good. Now do what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah. So actually, what was different with this?
The difference is this person is kind of using flattery.
Oh, and Jesus can tell.
And Jesus can tell. That right. is the thing that Jesus had, which we do not have.
We spirit, must also.
We should also have it.
No.
The discernment spirit.
To know flattery.
Exactly. And that's where we are going with when we go to the followers, you will find that. So you have to know when people are pushing you to the edge.
Yes.
And refuse it.
Mm.
Refuse to bow at that idol. You know, because then you will be led into destruction.
All right.
So cults tend to go in that direction. Now you begin to preach what people want to hear.
Wow.
So that you can retain this crowd. You can.
Because it's important
to you. It is important to you. It gives you a sense of worth.
And control.
And control.
Uh-huh.
So you want to expand that crowd. You want to build that crowd. Crowds are dangerous. Okay. Ask Jesus.
Ask. Wow.
Crowds are dangerous. They can lead you to the place where you never wanted to be.
Thank you, Bishop. I'm amazed. We don't have more time. I really wanted us to start on something else. So we will have to start it from there next time.
Yeah, next time we will deal with the, we'll look at the susceptible followers.
All right.
Yes.
Maybe this text would conclude for us on what we've heard of this narcissistic person. Says, I had a corporate client who was like that. Very difficult assignment it was. And he froze without even paying me quarterly, even though he's the one who had sought me out. Everyone else was always wrong. Everyone else didn't understand his background. Everyone was against him. And he didn't know why. there were no good employees in this country, etc. I wish I had seen the warning signs before taking on the assignments.
Yeah.
Our listeners say.
Yeah. That is that kind of person. Yes.
If they are listening to us, will they know that that's me?
They can be helped to know.
Yeah.
They can be helped to know. And that is part of, if you have this knowledge and information, for example, if I were to meet with this kind of person,
yeah.
And they are willing to be helped because no one can be helped against their will. But if, say, a person like that is listening to us,
yes.
And they are saying, that seems to describe me. How can I get out of this situation? That person can be helped to get out. The part I said was difficult is a follower trying to help that person.
That's hard.
That is hard.
But if
it is not impossible. It is hard.
If they can see themselves and see the problem.
The picture that comes to mind in that situation is Naaman's house girl.
Yes.
You know, Because this is like a person with leprosy. And the house girl is saying, if only my master knew of the prophet who could help him. But you know, Naaman's first response when he finally accepted this thing, when the prophet told him to go and dip himself in the waters, he was like, he must be joking.
He was insulted.
He was very insulted. You know, he said, we have better waters than the Jordan, you know?
Dirty
Jordan. So why would you tell me to do that? And he went away angry. But the servant said, if this guy had asked you something else, would you not do it? Finally, they got him to his senses.
Yeah.
And he had to accept that, yes, I am sick, I have leprosy, I need help. That this person has to get to that place accepting that I have leprosy, I need help. Yes.
Thank you, Bishop.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.